Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 255, starring Pedro Conti, who is a director over at Flool Animation. An amazing person. Happy holidays, Kristen.
Thank you.
You like the holidays, don't you?
I do. I'm obsessed.
You are. Yeah. You have done an incredible job and helped organize our Christmas party, which was fantastic.
Thank you.
Really great. Really cool to have you on board and helping out with all these podcasts. Speaking of which, did you enjoy this podcast with Pedro?
I did. It was sweet and fun. It was just like nice to listen to.
Yeah.
His story. Yeah.
He's got some incredible stories. When he did his talk at THU, which is basically where this was recorded, there was not a dry eye in that room. Mm. Everyone was crying, including the speaker. Really cool. What did you think of the podcast?
Well, I liked how he said he was just walking in his hometown one day and someone offered him some pirated software, which I think he said it was Maya. And he said that was the first time he found out you can make movies at home with the software that they use. So, and he's had no art background, like no training. He was all self-taught.
Right.
So that, yeah, his story is really amazing. And then going to Rio with like the no hot water, then to Burbank, which is another culture shock. So,
right.
Yeah, he's had a very interesting and fun life.
Yeah, really,
that he's created.
Really interesting life and a lot of things that inspired him. One of the cool things he did at THU is he actually did a music video for this guy named Ron Artis, and it was really amazing. In My Heart, I believe is the name of it.
We have a blog about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and it's really cool that he did that, and we were able to, the artist himself came to THU to play and everything. It was a really great story. The cool part for us is that we actually helped sponsor it. We went out there, we gave him licenses of V-Ray. We worked with, I think it was Rebus Farm. And we set them up with licenses so that he could get this project done. So we were really, really happy to do that. And he is going to be
a Total Chaos.
He's going to be a Total Chaos this year, which is so exciting. So he's one of our speakers there. So this is all kind of cool. So if you guys didn't get a chance to see him at THU, you can come to Total Chaos and see him there. Where is that happening?
All right. So it's going to be, and again, you can find all these events at chaosgroup.com/events. And this is going to be May 29th through 31st this year. So a little bit later than last year. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in Sofia, Bulgaria, our headquarters. And our slogan, it says it will feature an extraordinary collection of artists, designers who defy the status quo. And it's going to be very artsy and vibrant this year. So you can learn from the world's leading visionaries in art, architecture, advertising, automotive design, interior design, games, and visual effects.
Yeah.
And you can go to chaosgroup.com/total-chaos to find out all about it.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's again, chaosgroup.com/total-chaos. Very cool. Now, if people want to find out more about the podcast, where can they go?
You can go to facebook.com/CG Garage Podcast.
Or they can go to our site, chaosgroup.com/CG Garage. And of course, you can always email us, labs@chaosgroup.com. If you have any ideas, comments, or questions, happy to answer them there. And remember, of course, if you are on Apple Podcasts, to subscribe there, but also leave us a review and a rating. We would really appreciate it. That being said, please enjoy this incredibly sweet and wonderful podcast with my good friend, Pedro Conti.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passé. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
So excited. How many THUs for you?
I guess it's 5 THUs.
5? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was your first one?
The first one. I came here in the, I guess it's 2013 or...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I came to the second one.
The second one.
But I haven't missed one since then. So.
Whoa.
So that's pretty good.
Kind of missed like 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And then, because I went to live abroad and then had a baby. So yeah.
I know. A lot of stuff has happened to you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So let's see. Like when you did your first THU, what was going on?
Well, I was in this company that I was partner of called Techno Image,
mm-hmm.
and I finished a personal short film called One More Beer.
Yeah, and which that, I remember that one. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. So Andre, I was in touch with Andre even before the THU.
Right.
He was like, "Hey, Pedro, I want you to come here for Portugal for a workshop."
Okay.
Because he was running a school, I guess, at the time.
Yeah.
And then he told me, "Hey, wait, it's not going to happen. But I'm working on a festival called Trojan Horse was a Unicorn."
Right.
I was like, "What?" Okay. You know.
That's a kind of a strange name.
Yeah. And and when we got here, we didn't know what to expect. No one was expecting. We didn't know really. And when we got there, you know, like, all like these big cars with Trojan Horse logo. And then we got to in Troy, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like insane.
It was. It was a pretty cool thing. But it's interesting. I went to your talk, and it was a very emotional talk.
Yes, man.
It was really good.
So much drama.
There was a lot of drama and a lot of very personal stories. It's, you know, I think as a veteran of THU, you know that it's okay to let your heart out,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to do that, I mean, I don't think anyone had a dry eye
yeah.
Over there. So it was, you know, it was great. I was really, really interesting to hear your story. If you don't mind, can you share some of that story with us?
Sure.
Yeah. So how did it start for you? I mean, you were talking about you being a kid. You grew up in São Paulo, right?
Yeah, São Paulo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, grew up in São Paulo, kind of right in the edge. Brazil has so much contrast, you know,
mm-hmm.
between rich and poor. And I was like right in the edge, you know. I wasn't like really poor, but we didn't have much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in a small neighborhood. And life was all about, you know, playing with friends. And I hated school.
Yeah.
Really hated school. And my mother had to work a lot, you know. My father and mother, they were divorced. So my mother was working pretty much all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to school and going back home. And sometimes I had someone taking care of us, but sometimes we were just like playing with people on the street.
Yeah.
And the cool thing, the street I used to live, like everyone knew each other.
Yeah.
So like my friend's mother was looking for us and everyone was looking,
yeah.
you know, each other. So we grew up like a big family, you know, like the whole street.
The neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, the neighborhood.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So it was. So when you're growing up and you're doing the street, and then basically you said you didn't like school and you had to try to find something that interested you.
Yeah, it was hard for me. Like I couldn't, you know, I feel like the school wasn't interesting. Like all the time I was struggling there, you know, and eventually, like for me the most cool part was like playing with friends, like skateboarding was
yep.
a thing, playing soccer, you know. And eventually, in high school, I was studying at the time, I was introduced to music.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing like flute,
mm-hmm.
and then I went for trumpet, you know.
Yeah.
And after like get to know music, because where I'm from, like the people are very simple there, you know, so they don't know a lot about art, you know. You don't hear people talking about like those kinds of stuff, you know.
Sure.
So when I started learning music, was just like expanded my world, you know.
Yeah.
And eventually, the time I was spending skateboarding or doing whatever, I started playing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But why I bother so much my brothers, you know?
Right.
Because imagine like the trumpet, you know,
in your house. Loud. Yeah, it's yeah. pretty loud.
Pretty loud. So yeah, that was the thing, you know. And then I started to go for a music school in São Paulo. I was like maybe around 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
But it was like 1 hour,
mm-hmm.
like by bus and subway and walk.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of dangerous a city, you know.
Yeah.
To be walking around with 10 years old.
Right.
But it's something like I felt like for doing my what I want to do, I really to had to fight for, you know,
right.
since I was like just a kid, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I really started. But the way I was introduced to music in that school, because it was like more orchestra music, you know, uh-huh. so it's very rigid, you know. And all the kids there, they had a music background, so they used to study music while they were like very, very young, you know.
Sure.
So I was like the only one that was there and didn't have any like real music background, you know.
Okay.
So I didn't know any theory, but yeah. I had this feeling, you know. I had this feeling. And for going to this music, you have to do a test
okay.
to be approved or not, you know.
Yeah.
And I got like the first place to go to this test because
wow.
they felt like I had like the feeling, you know, for this thing. You know?
Uh-huh.
But when I got there, they just tried to put me in that box, and like they wanted me to know stuff that I didn't know.
Right.
And if I told them I didn't know, they were like, "Oh, you don't know it. Everybody knows it." You know, like treating
wow.
me like it was like very harsh, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't sound nice at all.
yeah. That was so. I was like starting like to. I wasn't enjoying anymore like to do music. The stuff I was doing that was happy doing, mm-hmm. by some people treat me in that way. I was like, oh man, I don't know if I like this. You know,
right.
I don't know if that's for me. So eventually, I stopped going for the music school.
Right.
And going to my aunt's house,
yeah.
And my mother didn't know about it, you know. And after like maybe 3-4 months on that, my mother went to pick me up on the music school because she left work earlier.
Yeah.
And the teacher said like, "Hey, I don't see Pedro maybe in 3-4 months."
Right.
So
you got a little bit in trouble.
Yeah, I got a little bit in trouble, man. But I was lucky. My aunt was on my back, you
mm-hmm.
know, and she was like, the boy was here with me. And
right. Yeah. So what got you to start thinking about doing 3D stuff?
Yeah. So yeah, after the music thing, I went to high school and got the chance to meet like some friends that was drawing. They were like very good. And
right.
I got inspired to do art again, like I was doing with music.
Mm-hmm.
I had no background at all. And I started drawing, and this friend, he told me after high school that he was going to do design.
Okay.
So I joined the graphic design university.
Yeah.
And I went to work with my father too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my father used to do like a lot of stuff with computers, like PowerPoints and videos and
sure.
After Effects and a little.
Yeah.
And one day he showed me 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But he used the 3D like for very basic stuff like logos, turning logos. You know?
Sure.
And then I said, that's really cool. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this thing. I was walking on the street, and in Brazil, by the time we had a lot of people selling illegal.
Yeah, pirated software.
Yeah.
Just on the street, right?
Yeah, on the street. And this guy, I was walking by, and he told me, "Hey, Pedro, do you want to buy any softwares?" No, he didn't say Pedro. He didn't
right.
know my name.
Yeah.
And he just told me, there is this software called Maya, and they made Shrek with that. I was like, whoa. I didn't buy because I didn't have money.
Right.
But I started looking to that, you know, how, yeah, like, it's possible to make movies with the software you have in your house.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the how I started to know about it. And then I knew a guy in the university that was doing 3D animation.
Mm-hmm.
And the world started to expand. And then I used Google and I was like, whoa, there's a whole new world there, you know.
Right.
So CG Society was like huge back in
2005,
2006.
Right.
So, yeah, that for me was how I started with 3D and
okay.
doing small things.
And then did you eventually just started, you know, you learned the software on your own, right? It's mostly on your self-taught.
Yeah,
all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So how did you eventually start working in this field? What got you there?
Yeah, so yeah, I started doing personal projects all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And after 1 or 2 months doing 3D, the 3D was even more exciting for me than the university.
Right.
So I was like putting all my efforts, like doing 3D.
Yeah.
But I was working with my father, right, and doing the university and I too. But it got to a point that I was really happy doing that. And with my father, we usually were working in events like this one.
Uh huh.
But for different areas like cars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wasn't happy. I was saying, hey, Dad, I really want to do things in the right way, you know. I want to take my time and do things as best as I can.
Right.
And he was like, man, we don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do it. And I was like, no, man, I think I can do better, you know.
Yeah.
And then one day, you know, I was like, hey, I think I will just leave the work. And I will try to just keep doing 3D.
Okay.
So I was taking my decisions to like, I'm going to give up on working because I found something special here, you know.
Right.
And yeah, like my father and mother, they were like worried with me all the time since I was a kid because I couldn't like really focus in anything, you know.
Sure.
And like when I gave up on working with my father and take the safe, mm-hmm, step, you know,
right,
they were like, man, this guy is crazy, you know,
right.
And but after some time working, like maybe 6 months, I started working with a little architecture company,
mm-hmm, yeah,
doing like small things here and there, and I was pushing my personal project all the time,
right.
And eventually I did something that was featured on CG Society,
yeah,
and I was hired for a big studio in Rio.
Right.
And
what was the project? And
it was it's a project called The Wonder Years.
Okay.
That was based on my childhood, you know.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it was cool. It was the first time I feel like I was really, you know, I was putting feelings on 3D art, you know, cuz
yeah,
before it was just like modeling cubes and
Sure. So and that's cool.
Yeah. And then with this project, I got an interview to do in this studio called Sigus Fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to move for Rio. And once again, I told my parents, like, hey.
Right.
You know, I kind of live in the university.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, man. They were against you. They were worried, you know.
Sure. So you moved to Rio.
Yeah. Yeah, I moved to Rio. I was like maybe 18, 19 years old.
Right.
And then I really got to learn what is an artist is because I didn't know before. I had no art around me or not people talking about art,
right,
around me. And I got the chance to work with real artists, you know. So it was like a life-changing experience, you know, because my world expanded so much.
Yeah.
Even though it was a rough time too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But Rio. But this was your first, you know, thing in 3D. You made after all of these decisions where you tried something, didn't like it, stopped. Tried something, didn't like it. You know, university. You know, but you found something that you felt you could express yourself.
Yeah.
In some way, right?
Yeah.
And so moving to Rio was a big deal. You were only 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
It was a little bit rough though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough because like, well, I was like just starting. So I was like a trainee or something, mm-hmm, like that. And yeah, the salary was just enough. You know, I was taking that as a work experience, you know.
Sure.
So I was like just accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio was very famous back in the days.
Yeah, that's good.
So I started working there and asking like, because they thought I knew 3D because they saw, I just showed like one image.
Right.
They just saw one image from me.
Right.
And they thought, hey, this guy is doing like some really cool stuff.
Right.
But actually I didn't know. I didn't have a background work experience.
Right.
And the first work I did was like a gift box, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to do it, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
And I couldn't like say that, you know, like, so I got to meet a few guys, like there's a guy called Fabricio. Yeah. And yeah, there's two Fabricios there that was working at the time, Fabricio Moraes and Fabricio Duque. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to their desk and like, hey man, you gotta help me because I really don't know how to do it. You
right.
know? And they were like just going through the steps. Hey, maybe you should do like this or that. Mm-hmm. But then I was making them like so busy with me.
Right.
And one day they were like, man, you have to find your way, you know?
Okay.
So I was like staying late on the studio, just opening everyone's file and see how they were doing. And
right.
So it was like a big school, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to learn a lot on your own. That was tough, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but I had access, right? So I could finally see how people were doing that.
Yeah, because you had no other reference before, right?
No,
you had to do it
reference.
By yourself.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so what happened after that? How were you able to sort of keep going on this stuff? What led you to do that, you know, one more beer animation?
Oh.
Like that, you know?
Yeah, so yeah, I was doing mostly like Coca-Cola bottles and pack shots and stuff like that.
For commercials.
For commercials.
Right.
Yeah. But I wasn't like, I was learning a lot, but it's not something that I was happy doing after some time.
Right.
Because I wanted to do characters and cartoons and stuff like that. So after some time working there, I got an email from a studio called Techno Image.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, branding company, but
okay.
They wanted to start doing illustration and 3D there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy called Thiago Roizo, mm-hmm. which is like amazing illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And I was huge fan of his work. And I thought, oh man, there's something really special about this guy. And I want to learn from him, you know?
Right.
So I went there after 2 years working at Seagulls Fly. I went there to be like the 3D lead,
right?
Without any background, you know. But as I was working in a big studio, they thought, oh, this guy has a lot of experience and stuff,
right?
And I decided to take this as a challenge. So yeah, I went there. There's another artist that was working there. He started at the same day I started. It's called Lucas Labels, a 2D illustrator,
mm-hmm.
and I was working with them. And we were having like a lot of conversation about art, and they didn't know anything about 3D.
Okay.
So was great for me because they were expressing themselves in a more artistic way, and I had to figure out like technically how to do things, you know.
Sure.
And that was like really important for me, you know, because I started to don't get attached to techniques or render engines and modeling tools, you know?
Right.
And but we're still doing a lot of commercial stuff, you know, like packs and...
Right.
And like once a year, I would do a character.
Once a year, yeah. That's not satisfying.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, man. So I just decided I wanted to work for animation studios like Disney and Pixar, but right. It was like so distant. I really didn't know, like I didn't speak English.
Right.
I didn't know like if it was possible. I didn't know nothing about visa.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, maybe I can try to do my own stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
as close as what they are doing there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a cool journey, you know, because there's no one, there's commercial stuff with characters in Brazil.
Yeah.
But nothing close to what I wanted, you know?
Right.
So I was like, oh man, maybe I should try to do it, you know? And it took me like 1 year and a half to do one more beer.
Yeah.
Because I was like, really, I really need to know things, you know?
So you were learning that.
Yeah. So I took that as a really experience because every work I was doing, I was struggling.
Right.
Every work I was like struggling so much that I was like, man, there's something wrong about it, you know. I think it's not supposed to be that way. So I took one more beer as experience. And after I had a friend working with me. It's called Alan Camilo, he's an animator.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fun project, you know.
Right.
And also like music. I didn't know anybody about that was doing music. So
right.
I got to know like some artists some musicians that were playing on the subway, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was fun, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, man, I think the short is almost done, but how am I going to do the soundtrack?
You know? Right.
And then one day I was just going back home and I saw guys like playing like really Viking music on the subway. And then I went there, it's a band called Mustachios Apaches. Mm-hmm. And I went there and talked to them and showed it like, hey guys, I'm doing this short film and blah, blah, blah. And they got like really excited about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it was like a first collaboration with musicians and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was cool. And then I wanted also to do sound design. So uh-huh. I got to meet some, a studio called Punch Audio. Mm-hmm. And I went there like, you know, hey guys, I have this short film and I want to hire you guys for doing the sound effects and I want to pay with my own hard money. And I had no idea like how much it cost, you know.
Right.
And they knew I was just a kid and like, hey, let's help this guy, you know.
That's awesome.
And we managed to bring a guy that was doing voiceover for Disney movies, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So, like in Brazil, we have like a, yeah, like voiceover from in the it's like a translated
translate. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, dubbing.
Yeah, dubbing. Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. So we managed to get a guy from Disney. So it felt like really a Disney production, you know?
Right.
Because it was like magic days, you know, because it's the first time you are putting something together.
Yeah.
That feels like a real movie, you know,
right.
Even though it was like a 30 seconds thing.
Yeah, it was great.
But it was magic, man, magic days. And yeah. Then I really had no expectations. I just wanted to do something. And I posted online and it was crazy.
Yeah, I remember everyone seeing that.
Yeah, everyone saw that. And I started to get emails from international companies, you mm-hmm. know, and it was like my world was expanding again, you know.
Yeah, Lon was talking, showing it to me. He's like, look at that. And it's like, oh, this is really funny. This is really funny. I think you used V-Ray for a render, right? I think.
No, I think that one though was still Mental Ray, man.
Still Mental Ray?
Yeah, back in the days. Yeah, 2000. But I was struggling with render. And I was like, man, there should be another way of doing things too. Because, yeah, that's what I had access at the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I started digging into other engines, so I started learn V-Ray.
Right.
I use a little of Maxwell Render for some time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really cool. So, I remember the year that you and Victor were over at THU, and there was recruiting going on at that time.
Yeah.
And then I found out that the two of you guys both went to go to Disney to go work on Moana.
Yeah.
So what would tell us a little bit about that? Because obviously, you know, that you had that now that you've created that, people could see the kind of work you did, and that kind of led to some opportunities for you, right?
Yeah, yeah. So after One More Beer, I like from day to night, I started directing commercials.
Right.
And we produced a lot of stuff at the time in the Techno Image Studio, mm-hmm. but I really didn't know how to do animation.
Right.
Because I just did one, but we did a few more things that people were liking it, you
right.
know. But the process was like, was crazy because we didn't know anything about pipeline. We didn't know anything about how to really make things, you know. And mm-hmm. after doing some spots, I was like exhausted, man.
Right.
So I got to this, I realized like I wasn't ready, you know, for directing and supervising. And so I was like, if I want to do animation, I really want to learn with people that knows how to do it, you know.
Right.
So I decided to leave the partnership and came to THU and got the chance to show my work to Disney.
Right.
And eventually we got hired and I was there with one of my best friends and a guy that we learned so much, you know, together.
Yeah.
We were sharing our experiences, you know. So it was like a dream coming true, like just to had access to information, you know.
Right.
Because after like so many years, finally you see something that works, you know.
Yeah. So what was it like coming from, you know, Brazil and then moving to Burbank in California?
Man, it's surreal, man.
Surreal, right?
It's surreal, man. It's like life sometimes can surprise you in ways that's like, it's really surreal, man.
Right.
Because, yeah, you went into my talk, I was saying, like, when I started doing 3D, like, that I moved to Rio was, like, taking cold showers, like, for 7 months.
Right.
We didn't have, like, hot water. And then living in, like, the craziest building of
Rio, yeah.
Or one of the craziest buildings in the Rio, like, with rats and stuff. And, like, and then you move to Burbank, it's like, oh, man, it's... It's really crazy, you know,
right.
Coming from Brazil and the perspective we had, you know, and people around me, you know, I feel so lucky, you know, and I feel so grateful that life brought me to those paths, you know, I'm really grateful, you know, just, and I was lucky too, you know, because I understand why my father and mother, they were so worried about me, you know, because that could not be worked and I could be just like, you know.
Yeah, but it did work.
Yeah, it did work.
It did work.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything turned out, well, I'm sure your parents must have been amazingly proud of you.
Yeah. So yeah, my father was like, I was lucky you didn't hear me because I didn't want you to do 3D.
Right.
And now you're just like doing your stuff and doing well.
Awesome. Yeah, that must have been amazing to be able to do that and have that opportunity. I was very touched by your story, but I think because it was a little hard for you in Burbank too, right?
Yeah. It's tough because I come from a very different background, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then especially for me, I didn't go to the university.
Right.
And so I don't have a lot of art background, you know. I just do stuff like by doing.
Right.
You know. And then you got there, and there's people that went to call arts, you know.
Right.
People around you that went to Harvard, you know.
Right.
And it's like, and your English, my English was even worse than it is right now, you know.
Yeah.
So you kind of feel like, I felt like very scared, you know, like, what I'm doing here, I don't belong here. There's this thing that you kind of feel you're not ready, you know, to be
right.
there, or you don't deserve to be there, you know. So it was a process, you know, of I had to go through that, you know, like to really value my background, you know.
Right.
Because life is not only about, you know, you go to the best places, the best universities, you know. But with that experience at Disney, I learned that your life experience has a lot of value, you know. How you feel things, how do you feel the person, how do you treat the person around you, you know. That kind of stuff is a valuable thing, mm-hmm. you know. And that kind of stuff put me in a place where there's people that had a big background, you know. They had the opportunity to go to the best places to study and
right.
And
but I think what I like about the industry that we're in is that there is room for everyone.
Yes.
Every part of it, you know.
Yes.
You don't necessarily, you know, if you want to be a lawyer, you
yeah.
have to go to law
yeah.
school, right?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And that's fine. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you have to learn that stuff. But
yeah.
But you can't be a self-taught lawyer.
Yeah. 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 Man, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not, doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So you had the opportunity, and the fact that you can, you know, when I went to Digital Domain, there are people who never went to college, and there are people with PhDs from MIT.
Yeah.
Know, all
yeah.
working together.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's fine. That's, I think that's the part of the thing that's magical about working in CG or in the arts in general, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, I mean, maybe there is definitely value in going to school and learning some stuff.
Yeah,
but that's not for everyone, because at the same time, you were completely self-taught, and that takes a huge amount of discipline.
Yeah.
That some people don't have that discipline, you know. So it's a different for everyone to do that. But how long did you stay at Disney?
I stayed for maybe 10 months, okay. 11 months, because I had a contract there just for the film.
Right.
And that was a big thing for me as well, because in Brazil, the industry is smaller,
mm-hmm.
and it's way more personal, you know, because right. like when you get a work, you stay there, you know.
Right.
And I didn't know what to expect, you know. You kind of create expectations like going to a big studio, you know. And
right.
you don't know exactly how it works. You don't know where you're stepping, mm-hmm. you know. So you're kind of blind somehow, you know.
Yeah.
And after I got the chance to do a lot of stuff in Moana, because that was the cool thing, you know. I didn't know like the way I was doing was right or wrong. But when I got there and started working, like the supervisors, they realized, hey, this guy has some valuable experience, you know.
Right.
And they started me throwing me like really cool stuff and big sequences. I was like, man, I was literally telling them like, hey guys, thanks for giving me the opportunity to do that. But
right.
I don't know if I really can handle, because I have never done this, you know.
Right.
And they were like, man, just do it. I think you can do it. I'm trusting you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They also give you some time.
Yeah, yeah. They also give me some time, yeah. you know.
What sequences were you doing on it?
I started doing like a small sequence, which is like Maui's cave.
Uh-huh.
And then this was like the first one I got the chance to work.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they said, hey, there's a sequence here. It's a big barge. Uh-huh. Kakamura's barge. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
No way. And I didn't know if I could handle that. But yeah, because it's more like psychological. Yeah,
right?
Psychological thing, you know.
Yeah.
And then I started doing that. And then I worked on the lava monster.
Wow.
So I got the chance to work on the lava monster and on the look depth side.
Yeah.
And then I worked on the crab, the big crab sequence, Lair of Tamatoa.
Yeah.
So yeah, and yeah, quite a lot of stuff I did for the film.
Nice.
And yeah, and after that I was done with the film.
Yeah.
Went back home to Brazil.
Yeah.
And kind of like, oh man, what should I do now, you know?
Right.
Because you kind of, I created expectations just to be there.
Yeah.
And then after the project is done, and I was like, I really felt like I didn't feel myself living in a different country, you know, just because the language and the cultural barrier mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I was there, but I lost my personality, you know, like the interaction with people was
very different.
Yeah, it was different. Not because of them, but because my English wasn't really good. So the conversation would get like a little, you know.
Right.
I couldn't respond and people were making jokes and I wasn't understanding. So I was like just shaking my head, you know, like. So, yeah. But.
It's difficult. You know, I even Americans themselves, right, they're very much about making jokes, especially the jokes are all about popular culture in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So if you come from São Paulo, you're not going to understand it. I mean, even people that speak English, like, you know, people from the UK,
they're not
going to get the references, and it's all about that. So it must have been very, you know, someone who's been going through all the struggles that you've been going through, you probably, you know, you said you were homesick a little bit, right?
Yeah, definitely. And and I'm a very sensitive person, you know, like when I'm in a place, I really feel a lot of stuff like a big wave. If it's just a small wave, when it gets to me, it gets like very big, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. So I was like really feeling things, you know.
Right.
So I went back home and just like started to replan my career, because I said late. I want to do animation, but I don't know if I want to live abroad, you know.
Right.
And I started freelancing again and started to thinking more like, what should I do? What should I do? That kind of... I went to Disney to get some answers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I left, I had even more questions, you know?
Right.
So that was the tough part, because I was spent like so much time thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, you know. But I ended up realizing that, you know, the stuff that I was doing in Brazil was right. So that was the answer.
You realized, having done that experience, that you weren't missing something in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
You had everything you wanted back in Brazil.
Yeah. So I had to go to the U.S. just to see how they work. Mm-hmm. And after knowing like how to do things, I was very uncomfortable just to stay in Brazil and try to do stuff from there.
Right. So what did you start doing in Brazil?
Yeah, I started like freelancing around. Mm-hmm. So after that, you know, because I always have been working different areas of CG, you know, like a generalist. Mm-hmm. But when you say somebody in the US, like on the big studios, like, hey, I'm a generalist, you know, they will say like, okay, we don't hire generalists.
Not true anymore.
Yeah.
There's I mean, not necessarily at Disney, but even ILM has a generalist group.
Yeah.
And so that's generalists used to be, you're right, absolutely used to be a bad word, because no, you are not just a modeler. Are you a hard surface modeler or a character modeler? Yeah. And I was like, really? It's like that specific.
Yeah.
So, but it's nice that, you know, like generalists are coming back, and generalists are very important now. So, yeah. But you are a generalist. So.
Yeah. And then I learned about like this, like the visual development in 3D started to be a thing.
Yeah.
By the time, you know, like back in 2017.
Yeah.
So people started to hire me as a visual development artist, which was like the same as generalist.
Right.
But and after that, I started working on pre-production work. So I was like, started working with DreamWorks, and then Guerrilla Games, you know,
But you were doing this in Brazil, right?
Yeah, in Brazil.
Okay.
In Brazil, and doing like, so people were like developing projects, and they were just, they had a very small group of people, like writers, directors, sometimes a designer. Mm-hmm. And I was just working with them, trying to find the final look of a film or a series.
Right.
And that was like, gave me a new perspective, you know, because now I don't want to be like a production artist. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to have like a big team, you know. I can do just like a small part of the process,
right?
Like defining some stuff visually,
yep.
And then they will have like the whole team there to produce things,
right?
You know? So it was like more artistic and more expressive for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was great time, man.
Cool.
And yeah, eventually after that, I felt like I was doing that, but when you work in pre-production, you never know if the project goes out or not,
right,
or if it's gonna take 6 months or 5 years.
Yeah.
And like, after a few years, now it's been 3 years, most of stuff I've done never got released, you know?
Yeah.
So you got like, oh man, I kind of want to do something else. Not something else. I'm happy doing that, you know? But I also want to show people
what you can do.
Yeah, what I can do. And so I started like doing small projects, like directing and producing everything, mm-hmm, with Fernando Pequeira, a friend.
Yeah.
So we started producing like cinematics and commercials and a lot of different stuff. You know? And it was fun that finally I could apply like all this knowledge I learned from Disney,
mm-hmm,
and in a pipeline that kind of works.
Right.
Yeah. So that was, you know, after so many years, you arrive somewhere that's like, okay, I think now we know what we are doing,
right,
somehow, you know.
But you were mentioning in your talk how you started to find music. You were going through a hard time in your life.
Yeah.
You know, after Disney, obviously you came back and you started to find it, but you still had a lot of personal things going on that were very hard for you.
Yeah.
But you had a child that was born,
yes,
right?
Yes. So yeah, life was really good, man. After Disney time, I went through this little tough time, figuring out what's next. But then I was working again and was like having fun. And my wife was pregnant. We had a baby, you know. So it was like, man, life is good again, you know.
Right.
And yeah, right after my son born, my father got really sick.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of work that I wasn't really expecting to have like a father sick, you know, at the time. So it was like really crazy days, man. It was crazy days because I really didn't have time to think. I just had to be like a really adult, you know.
Right.
I had to turn myself into a man, you know.
Yeah.
And take care of a family and take care of a sick father, you know, and work. I was working on really big projects, so people were not like playing, you know. So yeah, and I was looking around. I was like, man, it's with me, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, my father was sick for 4 months, and I was in this routine, like working a lot, taking care of my wife and the baby, and going to the hospital almost every day or almost 2 days, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the time where I had to put my headphones on,
right,
and listen to music, you know. And then I started to think about like my life, you know, because I was listening Brazilian rap, you know.
Yeah.
And that because in this industry, you know, we get so much influence from the American industry, you know. Mm-hmm. Because that's where is the work is happening, you know. So especially in Brazil, there's a lot of Brazilian industry, you know. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I saw myself working in English, making calls in English and writing in emails in, you know, like everything was English and all my references was English too, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of lose like your roots, you know. And when in this tough time where I was listening Brazilian music, I started like, man, now I know my roots again, you know. Uh-huh. And I started to give a step back, you know, and I started to find answers, you know, and started to get like the references I forgot, you know.
Right.
And also I started to see, I was just doing a lot of work, but I didn't feel like I was doing something meaningful. I was just having fun with that, you know. And when I got in touch with the music, and that was helping me to go through like a really, really tough time, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, man, artist is like a gift, you know. When you get the chance to know an artist, and this artist helping you going through like tough times in life, you know. I felt like someone was giving me a gift, you know.
Yeah.
And like that changed completely my perspective about making art, you know.
Sure.
Because I kind of wanted to be in the same place as these guys making music, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and after that my father ended up passing away and it was like insane. And there's one episode, you know, like I had panic attack one day. I was in the mall and because I went, I don't wanna go too dark on this story, you know.
Okay.
And one day I was in the mall and I was like almost run away, you know, because of like the noise and after going through that, you know. And my father didn't want to be in the hospital. So we spent like 4 months like trying to tell him, hey, you have to be here. You have to be to take care of yourself.
Right.
And he was like, no, I don't want to be here. And like, so it was like a wave that was involving everyone around, you know, not only the family, but all the medics and everyone taking care of him. And when I felt there's something wrong with me, I was like, I want to fix it, you know, because I don't want to affect people in a bad way around me, you know. So I went to the psychologist, you know, and it was like, so cool, man.
Really helped.
It was like, so cool. It was like, because like those things I have been talking here and I talked on the presentation. That was more intense. I realized just 3-4 months ago. Yeah. Because you go through stuff in life and you just forget about it.
You didn't realize what you're going through.
Yeah. You don't realize. And then when you start to think about those things, like, whoa, yeah, there's kind of some stuff, you know, that I went through, you know. Mm-hmm. And through that experience, you know, and through the Brazilian musicians, you know, I started writing. And that felt like the best art form for me, you know.
Okay.
Because I was doing 3D and I was, it could look impressive sometimes because of the technique and the lighting and the model and
right.
But sometimes it lacks like heart in that, you know, or lacks like the personal connection, you know.
Sure.
And so I wrote a text about this experience with my father and having a baby at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that for the Brazilian rapper. And I wanted to show him like how grateful I was for his art, you know. Mm-hmm. And eventually I got the chance to meet this guy called Emicida. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's huge, man. He's huge.
Okay.
And like I went there and I showed like this guy. I made a sculpture of him. And I printed out with a 3D printer.
Yeah.
And wrote the text and took photography. Did a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went there and gave to him. The guy got emotional and the people that was there got emotional. Mm-hmm. And then I showed like this verse for other people, you know. And people got like really emotional, you know. I was like, people was just coming to me was like, thanks for showing me that. And it was just hugging me, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool thing. I did a few talks about this subject, you know.
Right.
And the amount of real connection I got to people was like, it was so cool because finally I was talking about stuff that could be meaningful for people that it's like we are go through hard times in life, you know, we go all through struggles. You know, and sometimes people look at you just like people work in a studio they admire. Mm-hmm. And they think, oh, this guy has a perfect life and everything went fine. And he has a successful career and I will never get there, you know. So when you just got to a place like a THU, mm-hmm. that is like huge even in the animation industry. And you just say like, man, I've been struggling. But for some reason, I managed to be here today. You know, people just really connect, you know, in a really personal level. And yeah, so it started to be really makes more sense for me, you know. Sure. And I really want to push my art to have this like personal connection, you know, not just do something that is technically cool or.
Right. Yeah. So what led you? The story of, you know, the one of the things that you did, you premiered it here.
Yes.
The music video.
Yeah.
That's, just tell the whole story because it's an amazing story.
Yeah, well. Yeah. So basically going through like this tough time with my father, I was listening Brazilian rapper and there's one guy, there's like a group called Racionais MCs. Mm-hmm. They used to say in the music, like, no matter what you're going through, have faith because there's always flowers blooming from the concrete.
Right.
You know? And I had this phrase, like, in my head, like, for months. And one day I got a call from a musician from Hawaii. He was like, hey, I'm a musician from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I searched his music online.
Yeah.
And he's a blues player.
Right.
And I play blues too.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, this guy is insane. Mm-hmm. He's like,
he's very good.
He's insane, man. I right. know like all his references and so I think he's like huge.
Yeah. You know?
And the lyrics, what he was writing was was exactly what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
You know? And then we were talking and he told me, hey, I have this music called In My Heart. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much the idea that I have for this music is like me playing guitar in a city. And then I go inside my heart and there's a flower there. And then when I come back, this flower is in the concrete.
Right.
I was like, man, are you kidding me, man? Really, I was like, I called my wife. Uh-huh. Like right after I talked to Ron, uh-huh. I called my wife and I told her. Because I was telling her about like the flowers and concrete.
So people can look it up. What's his name, Ron?
Ron Artist Second.
Ron, yeah.
Yeah, Ron Artist Second. And I called my wife and she couldn't believe, you know. Mm-hmm. She cried. Like, seriously? Are you kidding me? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Fernando Pequet went to my place. Mm-hmm. At the same day. Mm-hmm. And I told Fernando before too about flowers and concrete.
Right.
It was like, oh man, that's surreal. That's surreal.
Right.
So yeah, I showed Ron's music for him. And it was like, man, I want to be part of it. You know.
Right.
And then we started this little journey. It was like a 3 months little journey.
Yeah.
And we started talking.
I know that we supported you on this Chaos Group.
Yeah, Chaos. Yeah, so yeah, that's the thing. It was kind of an independent project,
right?
You know? We were like investing ourselves. Ron was investing, mm-hmm. and me and Fernando was investing too. So Ron had no idea what is an animation project.
No, yeah, they don't. Yeah, it's a sticker price.
Yeah, yeah.
Sticker shock. I mean.
Yeah. So I told Ron, hey Ron, we really need support. So
right.
Ron was looking for a few companies to help us.
Right.
And we had help from a few companies.
Right.
That he know. And I was like, man, we need help from the software
right.
side, you know. So we got the chance to talk with, we were already in touch, right?
Right.
Like from after other THUs.
And, oh, yeah. We've been in touch forever.
Yeah.
And
I just wrote an email for Chaos Group, and like right away they said like, yeah, for sure, we are. And they saw like the story, and they saw Ron's music, and we put it together like some storyboard.
Yep.
And then we talked also with Rebels Farm.
Yeah.
And Rebels Farm said like, hey, we might be able to help you, but we have to figure out licenses as well.
Right.
So they were talking to you guys too,
yeah.
Chaos Group. And they didn't know we were already in touch with you guys.
Right.
So like Chaos Group was helping us.
Right.
And helping Rebels Farm at the same time.
Yep.
So it was really cool, man, just to be able to have the support from you guys on this. It
yeah.
was a dream project.
It's really beautiful. So the music video, it's online now?
Yeah, it's online now. It's called In My Heart.
In My Heart, yeah. And it's a really beautiful animation that you did for him. I'm really glad we were able to support you on it. And that's, which is really great. But what was also really cool as well is that you were going to come to THU.
Yeah.
And you tell them the story about what Andre did for you. Like Andre was like, you're coming here, and then you're going to premiere the video here.
Yeah. So that was a perfect timing because we were in a meeting with Ron and Fernando, and I was like, man, I would be cool just to get the chance to see this guy playing live.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man. And then we were already invited to a THU, me and Fernando. We were going here anyway.
Right.
And then we talked Andrea, hey, we have like this project we are doing with a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And just check it out, his music.
Right.
And he saw it and he's like, okay, let's bring this guy here for THU.
Wow.
And we are doing a premiere with the music project there. I was like, whoa.
Right.
And it was kind of surreal because Ron didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And it's just insane to see like how much fun Ron is having here.
Yeah.
The guy's, he came here like to perform, Right. But he's like doing VR and doing painting, and I was like, this guy's like,
he is in it. It's yeah, so great. So people know, you got it for the opening ceremony. You got to premiere the video,
yeah.
And then Ron got to stand on stage and do a performance for everyone. So we had a concert with Ron right yeah. after the opening, which was incredible.
Yeah,
and he's been wonderful. Him and his family are here with his babies, and he's so involved. I see him everywhere. He's doing so much stuff. It's such a great thing. And we're having the jam sessions at night, and he's there jamming on the guitar and doing all that stuff.
And it's cool because I believe a lot in this, like the way you put your energy in your work mm-hmm. can attract people with the same energy, right?
Right.
Because we didn't know Ron until like 3-4 months ago.
Right.
And we got here and the guy has the THU spirit, right?
Right.
He's really in it and he's like, he's very humble guy. He's
very,
very humble and
yeah.
he's talking to everyone and being like very present in the moment, you know, and I believe a lot, you know, like on the way you treat people and the way you do your work, it will attract more people like that. And
yeah,
it's been like, it's been an insane experience. And I thank Andrea like many times, you know, because, you know, yeah, I talk a little bit about my background and just to be here, like showing our film in a premiere, in one of the main events, mm-hmm. and get the chance to meet Ron,
yeah,
is like insane. And like recording a podcast.
I've always wanted to do a podcast with you. You know, you and Victor, and I did one.
Yeah, yeah.
Not long ago with Victor.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, to hear both of your stories. There's so many similarities, yeah. but also so many of your own personality through all those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, it's clear that, you know, the Brazilian people are extremely kind. You know, they have huge hearts, and it's wonderful to see that expressed in your art and in the things you do. And it's amazing when you have something that's personal, how many people will reach out to you. People you don't barely know.
Yeah.
Like the rapper you were talking about.
Yeah,
you know, that's the fact that
he
appreciated that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Like, even like, I highly recommend, you know, like, you just open up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I went to a few conferences, like, it's been 6 months I went through this, 6-7 months through this hard time.
Right.
And when you speak about what is in your heart or and try to, of course, you know, you don't want to have like what I had in mind, you know, going through this hard time, I really wanted to, okay, that's not what is life is about. We go through hard times.
Yeah.
But I really want to have like a great perspective on that, you know. Otherwise, you can get depressed, you know, and stuff like that. But I went through a really hard time. But I kind of wanted to bring perspective, you know, for people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like, of course, not changing the world, but if it's making sense for one person, you know, it's already making sense for me too, you know.
Sure.
So that's was the thing, you know, like and. The power we have doing CG art is so big. It's affecting like so many people, you know. So if we have the opportunity just to say like stuff that happens to us and how we can help people somehow, you know, and how we can make stuff that will be here for many, many years after we go and still can make a difference there, you know. So I believe it's... a new life perspective as an artist after going through that. And I'm kind of thankful, you know.
Sure.
Because you start to see the life in a different way and there's a whole world, whole new world to explore, you know, and
oh, it's okay.
Oh, sorry. And it makes more sense for me.
Don't worry, we'll cut it
out. Okay.
We'll cut
it out. I'm sorry, I forgot to turn off my cell phone.
It's okay. We'll, we'll cut it out.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. So, that's where I'm into right now. I'm still doing pre-production work, but I really want to push, like, find a way to make stories that make sense, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think you did a great job. Your talk was amazing. The video is great. I'm so happy we were able to help you out.
Thank you so much.
And to be part of it, because it means a lot, you know, to be able to. That's one of the things that we try to do at Chaos Group. Yes, we have to, you know, sell software and stuff, but we also want to do things that enable artists to do what they want to do. You're like the perfect example of what we want to try to, to help out. You know?
Yeah, and it's like, it's, you know, this kind of perspective that I was talking before, you know, and just you reach out a big company like Chaos Group, you know, and they were like super open.
Yeah.
It was like, having a new people like give you a new perspective, like, and they were not expecting nothing, you know. That's really beautiful to see, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, we've actually been over an hour, but and I think you've given some amazing perspective for people to do things, you know, for their personality, right, for what they need to do, and to look at their art and make it something that's special. I highly encourage people to do that if they can. You know, I think it's a good thing, but it's amazing and it's so cool that you're, you know, we get to see each other at many THUs.
Yeah.
It's good to see that. And your English is really good now.
Thank you. thank you.
Yeah.
It's really good. Andre is around.
Yeah. So thanks so much for doing this, Andre.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah.